Did you know that there are now approximately 150 chemicals in our homes that are connected to allergies, birth defects, psychological disorders, as well as cancer? And this is actually old news. I have now met three different people who had numerous health problems, were on multiple medications, and were given a poor long-term prognosis for survival. But instead of accepting what their doctors said, they took matters into their own hands, and each of them moved into a rural area, gave up all processed foods, ate only organic, and eliminated all toxic materials from their households. And within a year, each of these people said they were taken off all medications, and their physical ailments completely disappeared. So if you want to learn more about this, then join me for episode 164, How to Detox Your Home.
Welcome to the Adventures in Sustainable Living podcast. Your host has lived an off-grid sustainable lifestyle for over 20 years. His homestead is run on solar energy. He has an earth shelter greenhouse and produces much of his own food. And all of this takes place in the middle of the forest in Colorado. Now, let's join Patrick, the man that not only teaches the skills of sustainable living, but lives that life every day.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Adventures in Sustainable Living podcast. This is your host, Patrick, and this is episode 164, which is called How to Detox Your Home. But before we get started with that, as you know, in each episode, I start with a good news story of the week. But I've also decided to add one other thing, and that is the sustainability question of the week. And I will ask this question in the beginning of each episode and give the answer at the end of the episode. So that said, the sustainability question of the week is this. What unsustainable ingredient is in 50% of all packaged products consumed in the United States? Is it egg fiber, palm oil, or sap extract? So stay tuned for the answer to that question at the end of the episode. Now, this week's good news story of the week is actually about coral. But if you want more information about just how important coral is to our planet, then I've devoted an entire episode to that topic. So go back and listen to episode 25, which is called The Keystone Life of Coral. But to quickly sum things up, coral reefs are found in about 1% of our oceans, and yet these reefs are home to nearly 25% of all marine species. And they're also important in the regulation of the ocean's carbon dioxide levels. And our planet is losing coral reefs at an alarming rate, mostly due to climate change, which has resulted in marine heat waves. But as it turns out, there is good news. Certain species of coral are much more resistant to the effects of climate change than what we previously thought. And this is attributed to what is being termed as ecological memory response. So it's become obvious that some coral have experienced previous heat waves and adapted to that temperature change. And the Global Change Biology publication stated in their article on this subject that the coral microbiomes, meaning the community of bacteria and other organisms living in the reef, could be key to this survival response. And this means that some coral species are more resilient to climate change than what was previously thought. So a five-year study that was partly funded by the National Science Foundation focused on over 200 reefs in French Polynesia. In 2010, certain species of starfish and a cyclone destroyed 99% of the reefs, and the reefs began to re-establish, but then in five separate severe heat waves between 2016 and 2020, the damage to the reefs continued. But despite this, large reef populations continue to regrow due to microbiome resilience, host and microbiome acclimatization and resistance to repeated heat waves. And this is consistent with the concept of ecological memory. So learning how reef systems adapt is certainly a vital step in conserving this valuable resource in our ever-changing world. So there is your bit of good news for this week, folks. And being an active scuba diver, that is certainly good news for me, because coral reefs are truly a beautiful sight to see. So now let's move on to this week's episode, which focuses on how to detox your home. And I would simply like to start this episode by giving you a few statistics and numbers. And although that may sound kind of boring, but these numbers should actually be alarming to everyone. But this is simply an effort to help you realize the importance of what I am focusing on this week. And additionally, what I hope to accomplish in this episode is to give you a deeper realization of how you always need to do your due diligence. And you always have to be mindful of the choices that you make. And this is because so many things in our world are driven by economics and industry profits, and not at all over a concern for our health and the well-being of the average consumer. And this is because the global market for some of the things I'm going to discuss here is over $300 billion U.S. dollars annually. So let's get started with some pretty scary numbers. And as I said above, there are 150 chemicals found in our homes that are connected to allergies, birth defects, psychological disorders, reproductive disorders, and cancers. And the average person actually uses 25 gallons of products per year that contain hazardous chemicals. And most of these chemicals are found in household cleaning products and personal care products. And since 1950, approximately 70,000 new synthetic chemicals have been invented and are now dispersed in our environment. And no health or hazard information is available for greater than 80% of those chemicals, much of which are in the products that we use every day. So depending on the source you read, each of us presently has somewhere between 300 and 700 synthetic chemicals in our bodies. And research has revealed that newborn babies have synthetic chemicals in their bodies which have been passed along from their mothers. The USDA even has what they call acceptable levels of pesticides that can be found in our foods. And these chemicals have been linked to cancer, reproductive disorders, immune and nervous system disorders. And once again, keep in mind that only a fraction of these chemicals have ever been tested for human toxicity. Since 1901, cancer rates in Americans have increased from 1 in 8,000 to 1 in 3. Numerous researchers examined data from 204 different countries between 1990 and 2019. In 1990, there were 1.82 million cases of early onset cancer, and in 2019, there were 3.26 million cases. And this reflects an increase of 79.1%. The rates of asthma, which was once a rare disease, has now tripled in the last 20 years. These so-called forever chemicals are now found on every place in the planet, and microplastics have been found from the top of Mount Everest to the deepest parts of the ocean, and we breathe and eat microplastics every day. They do accumulate in our bodies, the effects of which are yet to be determined. The average home contains between 500 and 1,000 chemicals and toxins, and manufacturers are simply not required to list all the ingredients in the products that we use every day. And the bottom line is that we voluntarily subject ourselves to exposure to many of these chemicals simply because of our lifestyle. And we're exposed to almost 80,000 chemicals every single day, due to the foods we eat and the products we use. And common sources of these chemicals are things we use every day. Shampoo, deodorants, lotions, cosmetics, and fragrances. And I used to think I could get away from all of this by living on top of a mountain in a relatively isolated community, but I was wrong. And considering all this, you might think the only way I can protect myself would be to live in a plastic bubble, but that contains toxins as well. And if you are not concerned by now, you should be. And as I always like to say, or as I always like to ask, how did we get here? Well, as with so many things, where we are now is a result of our so-called progress. So let's just take soap for an example. During the early to mid 1800s, soap chemistry was studied and improved, costs were reduced, and soap became affordable to everyone. And additionally, the availability of washing machines in the early 1900s increased the use and popularity of soaps, and detergents made from chemicals became more popular in the 1900s. And post-World War II, when our economy began to dramatically improve, the market was flooded with a plethora of new products that made our lives so much more convenient. You know, it's interesting to think that the vacuum cleaner was actually invented in 1860, but it was considered a luxury item. But by the 1950s, these were the number one household cleaning tool due to the invention of fitted carpets. And additionally, due to advertising and the ease of availability of products, efficient housekeeping supplies were widespread by the 1950s, and our culture had advanced to the point that you truly no longer had to make anything because all the products you needed were easily available right off the shelf. So, wow, you would think, how fantastic is that? But however, as is usually the case, there are advantages and disadvantages to everything we do, and our ease and convenience really truly comes at a price. So what I want to do now is sort of go through the typical household, and I want to look at toxic products we have and then give you some eco-friendly alternatives, or at least give you ways to avoid these toxins. And by doing so, you can begin to detox your home and dramatically reduce your exposure to toxic chemicals. So let's start by taking a look at some hair care products, because these products are designed to make your hair clean and shiny and bouncy and smooth, and that is why we use them, and we get a little bit of instant gratification by doing so. So the problem is that these products are loaded with toxic chemicals. So just pick up your shampoo and conditioner and read the label. And in fact, I did this just the other day with an old bottle of shampoo, and I had no idea what any of the ingredients were, and it sort of looked as if I was reading the ingredients of an industrial laboratory experiment. So let's run down a quick list of a few of these ingredients. There are things such as sulfates and surfactants are used to clean excess dirt and oil off of your scalp. They're also used for lathering. There's parabens, which are used as a preservative. Polyethylene glycols are used as a thickening agent. Phthalates are used to increase the spreadability of the product and to make the fragrance stick to your hair and scalp. Formaldehyde is used as a preservative. Triclosan is used as an antibacterial. And fragrances, of course, are added to make it smell better. And of course, this is not even close to a complete list of the chemicals that are in hair care products. The problem is that all these chemicals cause a wide range of health problems, including allergic reactions, hormone disruption, increased risk of various types of cancer, endocrine disruption, various reproductive disorders, nervous system effects, and not to mention being highly dangerous to the environment. And as an alternative, look for shampoos that are free of sulfates and surfactants. In fact, hydrolyzed keratin is a good alternative to a conditioner. And also look for ingredients such as coconut oil, olive oil, or jojoba oil. But you can also purchase shampoo bars that are all natural. But I think the best way is to simply make your own, which is exactly what we do. And another good alternative is to go to the website of the Environmental Working Group and look at their Skin Deep Cosmetics database, which ranks the safety of body care products on a scale of 1 to 10. So next on the list is our bathroom cleaners, because these often contain volatile organic compounds, hormone disruptors, formaldehyde, acids, and fragrances containing numerous chemicals. And once again, these chemicals can cause cancer, allergies, reproductive disorders, and environmental toxicity. But the good news is that there's several things you can do to avoid this. Again, you can go to the website of the Environmental Working Group, and they have a database on healthy cleaning products. And in the references section of this podcast, I have links to several different articles on simple homemade cleaners that are safe and environmentally friendly. So be sure to check out the references section at the end of the transcript. So let's take a quick look at our kitchens. But first of all, let's look at our cookware. Because it is true that all the nonstick cookware that we have makes our lives so much easier. And the problem is that the nonstick coating, as it is heated, the chemicals leach into your food. And if the pan is overheated, the fumes can actually be toxic and have been associated with some flu-like symptoms. And furthermore, I have personally seen some veterinary patients in emergency clinics that have died due to being exposed to the fumes associated with an overheated nonstick pan. So much safer alternatives are cast iron, stainless steel, carbon steel, ceramic coated cookware, glass, crock pots, and pressure cookers. But then we also have a tendency to use a lot of plastics in our kitchen. So you should never place hot food into a plastic container, because this will cause the chemicals to leach into your food. And of course, never use plastics in the microwave for the same reason. Much safer alternatives for heating and storing food are, of course, glass, stainless steel, beeswax wraps, and better quality plastics, if you want to use plastics, are those that are labeled with recycling numbers 2, 4, and 5. And now let's move on to the living room. Our furniture often contains volatile organic compounds, formaldehyde, as well as a host of other chemicals which are released into the air from the materials the furniture are made of, as well as the glues that help to bind the furniture. But this also includes flame retardants that are used to treat furniture, and oftentimes you actually have to call the manufacturer to determine what chemicals are used on their products. But better options would be natural fibers such as cotton and wool, and wood that is untreated. But you could also purchase secondhand furniture or simply refurbish an old piece of furniture to give it a little bit of a new life. And even though you can look on the website of the Forest Stewardship Council, which certifies sustainably sourced wood, but it does not address chemicals that are used in the manufacturing process. So what about our flooring? Things such as hardwood floors are certainly very attractive, and I have plenty of those in my cabin. But the challenge is that the typical finishing, which is usually lacquer, varnish, shellac, sealers, and even paint. But some better options would be using refurbished wood for flooring. Bamboo is also very durable and quickly renewable. But there is also natural linoleum products and floors. Look for floors that are finished with oils from renewable sources. And you can shop online for wood that is finished with natural coatings that are actually much safer. But then our carpets and our rugs that we often use are treated with a number of different chemicals to prevent staining and things that are used as fire retardants and chemicals that make them resistant to moth. But they also are made from petroleum-based products. So the carpets themselves, the glue, and the padding used during installation are loaded with toxic chemicals. And they are notorious for retaining toxic lawn chemicals that are tracked in on your shoes. So the only way to truly avoid this, of course, is to not even have carpet. But if that's what you want, then avoid carpets that are treated with stain and water-resistant chemicals and consider nailing or stapling them instead of using glue. Now let's take a look at our bedrooms. The mattresses that we often use are coated with several toxic chemicals. The foam, the coverings and coatings often contain formaldehyde and emit volatile organic compounds. They're also coated with fire retardants that are known to cause cancer. And considering we spend about 30% of our time in bed, consider some safer options. And that would include a mattress that's made of cotton, wool, or a natural latex, or consider purchasing a mattress that's covered with a polyurethane laminate, which is much safer. But then if you go to all that trouble, then you have to consider the sheets that we use, which are often coated with chemicals that are resistant to fire, water, stains, and wrinkles. So any label on your bedding that says no iron, water repellent, flame retardant, or permanent press, they're typically treated with toxic chemicals. And it has been proven that flame retardants do not prevent fires, and they actually make smoke much more toxic. So there's actually, unfortunately, there's no labels to specifically certify safe bedding, so your best bet is to call the manufacturer. So far we've looked at several different things, hair care products and safer bathroom cleaners and better options for cookware and eliminating plastics and the toxins that are associated with our furniture, our flooring, our carpets and rugs, and our mattresses and our bedding. But besides that, there are actually numerous other things you can do to detox your home. And one really good choice is to eliminate synthetic fragrances, because these fragrances are found in such things such as dish soaps, laundry detergents, air refresheners, dryer sheets, scented candles, shampoos, deodorants, soaps, perfumes. And you know what? They may smell really good, but they're also neurotoxic, and they can cause liver and kidney damage and contribute to various forms of cancer, as well as being hormone disruptors. But you can avoid this by looking for products that do not list fragrances on the label, or you can simply make your own. Another very easy thing to do is to switch to non-toxic cleaning products. Because most people don't know that the cleaning products we use in our homes by far contain some of the worst toxins of anything we use. Because they're loaded with fragrances that make them smell good, but in the end, we're trading our health for having a nice clean smell. Because there are a tremendous amount of non-toxic options, such as baking soda, vinegar, and essential oils. And be sure, once again, to check out the references section or resources section in this transcript for links to pages where there's an abundance of recipes of homemade cleaning products. Another thing that people never really think about is paraffin candles. Because most people don't know that these nice scented candles are a major source of indoor pollution, because they actually emit toxic substances such as benzenes and toluene, and they're known to cause nervous system disorders, brain and lung damage, and even cause developmental disorders in children. But they can also emit formaldehyde, and long-term exposure can cause even respiratory cancers and leukemia. So instead of scented candles, diffuse essential oils into the air or burn beeswax candles. And these contain a wide variety of natural odors and are actually very pleasant. And in fact, this is something that Annette does at the cabin on a regular basis. And another step to detox your home is to actually consider your tap water. Because at least according to the Environmental Working Group, they say that our water contains over 300 chemicals. Things such as chlorine and pesticides, herbicides, fluoride, lead and mercury, and forever chemicals, of course, and hundreds of other things. And at least in the United States, over 50% of our rivers, lakes, and streams are now so polluted that they are not considered safe for swimming, fishing, or even drinking. And even though tap water is certainly considered safe to drink, I could point to numerous examples of where communities are consuming contaminated water for years before someone actually figures it out. So my best advice here is to really just have your water tested. And this is what I do every few years, even though we get our water from a clean mountain stream with practically nothing upstream from us. And in fact, in an upcoming episode, I'm actually going to discuss water filters at length so that you know just what type of filter to purchase. And one very, very simple thing you can do is to stop using chemicals on your lawn. Because there are approximately 30 commonly used chemicals that we use on our lawns, all because we want perfect looking grass. And out of all of those, 19 of them have been shown to cause cancer. And 15 of these products are known to cause nervous system disorders. And this is, of course, does not include the herbicides and pesticides that we use in our gardens that actually kill beneficial insects and bacteria. So instead of using chemicals, consider weeding by hand. Or just plain vinegar works as a great herbicide. And if you have a garden or landscaped area, use landscaping fabric or mulch for weed prevention. And another option is, of course, to allow a portion of your lawn to grow naturally, or plant flowers and shrubs that are native to your area and make it a small little haven for insects, butterflies, and hummingbirds. And my last little tip here, folks, is something most of us never even think about. And that is to simply take your shoes off before you enter your home. Because perhaps it's because of my profession, I actually have specific shoes that I wear to work and ones that I wear only at home. And I even take my shoes off before I even get into my vehicle to drive home. But this is just a habit from years of being in the veterinary industry, and I do not want to take the chance of bringing anything home to my own animals. But what most people do not think about is that our world is not exactly a sparkling clean place to live in. And the single biggest source of lead contaminants, pesticides, and herbicides that are in our homes is the result of walking into our home with your shoes on. So simply taking your shoes off at the front door can eliminate approximately 60% of the toxins that you bring into your home. And I actually have an inexpensive, comfortable pair of shoes that I wear at home and only at home. And by doing so, I completely eliminate a source of toxins on the homestead. So to start wrapping things up here for this episode, there's no doubt that in today's world, no one can completely eliminate exposure to toxic chemicals, because they're just far too widespread in our environment, and furthermore, most people would be shocked to learn that there is zero federal regulation on the chemicals found in household products. The ingredients and the products we use every day are not held to any sort of safety standard, nor is there testing data or any sort of necessary notification required before bringing those products to market. And furthermore, the USDA likes to say that there are acceptable levels of pesticides in our food, and manufacturers even argue that exposure to small amounts of these toxins are unlikely to cause any sort of health effect. But I would argue that it's impossible to judge the cumulative health effects of constant chronic exposure to the multitude of chemicals we come in contact every day. The rates of asthma, which was once a rare disease, has now tripled in the last 20 years. Since 1901, cancer rates in Americans has increased from 1 in 8,000 to 1 in 3, and that research data from 204 different countries between 1990 and 2019 revealed a 79.1% increase in early onset cancer. So what is the answer? Because you may not be able to protect yourself from everything, even if you live in a plastic bubble. But what you can do is eliminate some of the worst offenders. And these are our household cleaning products and our personal care products that we use every day, because there are easily available, organic, non-toxic, environmentally friendly alternatives to every single product that we use in our home. So I look at the amazing ease and convenience of our modern lives, and I'm grateful for so many things, of course. But I also weigh in on the price we pay for such a lifestyle. Because living a healthy, organic, sustainable lifestyle may not be what you are accustomed to, but making that change, it might seem painful at first, but I think it's the only way to go. But just imagine what your life would be like 5 years from now if you made one simple change every month. And the best part is that you don't really have to be perfect. You just have to make progress. Because after all, the world really doesn't need a small group of people living a perfectly sustainable existence. What the world needs is millions of people who are simply trying. And that is what's going to make the difference. And finally, folks, the answer to the sustainability question of the week. What unsustainable ingredient is in 50% of all packaged products consumed in the United States? Is it egg fiber, palm oil, or sap extract? And the answer is palm oil. Palm oil is in a surprising array of products, but the production of it is responsible for a significant amount of environmental destruction, deforestation, and habitat loss. So my best advice is to avoid products with a lot of packaging, especially plastic, and read the labels on the food that you consume. Because avoiding the use of palm oil is just another simple way to make a huge impact in our ever-changing world. Well, folks, I think that's about it for this week. So I hope you will join me again next week for another informative episode. And once again, don't forget to take advantage of the resources section of this episode, because there is a significant amount of additional information there. So I want to end this episode with a quote from Lyndon Johnson, because I think it's perfectly applicable to sustainability. He said, "Yesterday is not ours to recover, but tomorrow is ours to win or lose." And that is a good way to think about how we can build a sustainable future. So until next week, folks, do one simple thing to make your life a little more sustainable, because living sustainably is how we will build a better future.